Welcome to Within the Realm. I'm your host, Steve Garrett. And within the realm, we say there's always more to the story. We are surrounded by things that we take for granted. They have become ordinary and familiar. These things still have a story worth knowing and telling. That's what we do at our corner of the podsphere. Today's episode, My Only Sunshine. The increased interest in the history of country music brought about by the Ken Burns documentary has brought me back to a subject, a particular song. Covering the story of a familiar song without actually using it as an illustration may prove to be difficult, but stick with me. Copyright laws govern the use and the payment for the use of copywritten tunes. It has become the safest thing for podcasters to simply forego the use of this kind of material so as not to break the law. This episode is such a case. Luckily, the song that we're covering is the third most recognized song the world over, the first being Happy Birthday, and White Christmas being the second. The song I'm referring to is You Are My Sunshine. If you look up current information about the song, you might find it listed as a folk song or as children's music. You might be surprised to learn that it was a chart-topping country hit. But even in becoming that, the song has an interesting story. You Are My Sunshine was popularized by country music performer Jimmy Davis in 1940. A check of the writing credits lists Davis and Charles Mitchell as co-writers of the song. Charles Mitchell had been born in Texas, but raised in southeastern Oklahoma. Upon graduating from high school in Blue, Oklahoma, not far from the Red River, he became a telegraph operator for an Oklahoma rail line. He later moved on to Louisiana to work for an oil company. He caught the performing bug, taught himself to play the Hawaiian steel guitar, which was a popular thing to do in the 1920s, and formed a traveling music group. In 1930, Mitchell met singer Jimmy Davis, who used the Steel Players group as backing musicians for appearances and recordings. Jimmy Davis came from a sharecropping family. One of 11 kids, no one was really sure of the year of his birth. Eventually, someone settled on September of 1899, due to his listing in the 1900 census. Davis graduated from high school and business college. He received a bachelor's degree in history from Louisiana College in Pineville. He later earned a master's degree from Louisiana State University in 1927. He taught history at the Dodd College for Girls in Shreveport, but soon was enticed by the bright lights of the stage. Late in the 1930s, he began having some commercial success as an entertainer, recordings of his making their way onto the radio. At about the same time, he also began a career in politics. In 1938, he was elected as Shreveport's Public Safety Commissioner. According to the legend, it was sometime in 1939 that he and Mitchell wrote You Are My Sunshine, and it was recorded in February of 1940. The song became a hit for Davis, his first major hit, and became the center of his career. He also flourished in his political career, and the song featured prominently in his successful campaigns for governor of Louisiana in 1944 and 1960. Due to its association with Governor Davis, the song became one of Louisiana's state songs in the 1970s. After Davis's success with the song, it became one of the most recorded songs in American popular music. It was covered by artists as varied as Gene Autry, Bing Crosby, Mississippi John Hurt, and Lawrence Welk in 1941. The song has since been covered by many other big and small names over the years in a variety of genres. The tune Southern Political History was used as a device in the motion picture Primary Colors, about a Southern governor running for president in the 1990s. The song has virtually lost its original country identity and has become a cultural icon. Davis's 1940 version has been added to the National Recording Registry in the Library of Congress for long-term preservation. The Recording Industry Association of America named it as one of the songs of the century. Country music luminary George Jones said of the song, "It was the most perfect song ever written." That's quite an accomplishment for two hillbilly musicians. That's an interesting story. It's made all the more interesting by the fact that the song was recorded by two other artists the year before Davis found success with the song himself. The first recording of the song was made by the Pine Ridge Boys, recorded in August of 1939 in Atlanta, Georgia. The song, on the Bluebird label, was listed as Singing with Guitars. No songwriter was listed on the label. The Pine Ridge Boys, made up of singers and players Marvin Taylor and Douglas Spivey, released several sides for Bluebird. The second recording of You Are My Sunshine was done by the Rice Brothers Gang on the Decca label. This version was recorded in September of 1939 in New York City, less than a month after the Pine Ridge Boys put their version to vinyl. The Rice Brothers Gang's version was identified as Foxtrot with Singing and was attributed to Paul Rice, not Davis and Mitchell. Rice later said he wrote You Are My Sunshine based on a fan letter he got from a girl in South Carolina. The Rice Brothers were also from the Atlanta area, but traveled extensively. One of their major markets was Shreveport, where they were familiar with Jimmy Davis. It was reported that Davis and Mitchell bought the rights to the song, which was not an unusual thing for the day, for $35 badly needed by Rice to pay his wife's hospital bills. The transaction between Rice and Davis and Mitchell was not necessarily a closely guarded secret, and has caused some outlets to list the song's authorship as, quote, disputed, end quote. Interesting side note. Jimmy Davis's 1940 release does not list a writer. So the story of the true authorship of one of the most recognizable songs in the world involves a payment of $35 and the loss of royalties to its rightful owner. But there's more to the story. Both the Pine Ridge Boys and the Rice Brothers Gang hailed from northern Georgia and recorded the song at different locations less than a month apart. The song had obviously been performed and noted well before it was recorded. Many say that indeed it had been a staple song being performed in the area, originally penned by performer and songwriter Oliver Hood. Many suggested the song had been written by Hood as early as the 1920s. Oliver Hood hosted a radio program out of LaGrange, Georgia, where performers of the day would take a turn behind the microphone, which provided a perfect place for multiple folks to pick up the song. The song was not copyrighted by Hood, nor by Rice, but the copyright was finally registered by Davis and Mitchell in 1940. Since that time, copyright laws have changed dramatically, offering better protections for songwriters and creators, leaving us to make this episode without the use of the title song. Shortly before his death in 1959, Oliver Hood penned a song, "Someone Stole My Sunshine Away," again laying claim to the authorship of the song. And there's more to even that story. A more personal story. My own interaction with the song is much like everyone else's. It's everywhere, a part of the landscape. My musician grandfather, Les, would play the song often as he strummed his guitar. I routinely heard the refrain coming from my Grandma Elda's kitchen. It was everywhere. Not many know the song beyond the familiar chorus. Through my grandparents, I heard and learned the verses. They tell the story of a forlorn lover pining for his only sunshine, quite different than the upbeat feel most would think. One summer evening, my wife and I were out in the backyard, she with a book and I with my guitar. Our neighbors have four daughters, who we have given free rein of our backyard to for important things like soccer practice and games of tag. The youngest girl, Eowyn, and her mother joined us in the backyard. The four-year-old Eowyn asked me to play her a song. "What do you want me to play?" I asked. "You Are My Sunshine," came the immediate reply. "My daddy sings it to me." That little blonde-headed girl amazed me. She knew the whole song, through and through. And that was the last time she and I ever sang the song together. Not long after our impromptu duet, she and her mom were visiting us again. They walked home, but soon thereafter we noticed one of their cars leave in quite a rush. We found out Eowyn had taken a fall down the stairs, and her mom was taking the little girl in just to have her checked out. They found a few bumps, maybe a bruise, but something else. It was diagnosed a few days later as DIGP. I never really learned the words that went with those letters. I kind of stopped listening after brain cancer. It wasn't good. Chances of survival were slim. Her family decided to fight it, and our little community stepped up and helped raise funds to pay for treatments. Even the local Major League Soccer team, Sporting KC, did what they could for the soccer-playing family. Eowyn's new struggle was dubbed Fight Like a Princess. In keeping with that theme, our town gave her a birthday party, her fifth, filled with princesses. She and her family entered our little square in a horse-drawn carriage, and she was greeted by all of the familiar princesses played by the girls from the high school. Other folks in town played characters like the Mad Hatter and the White Rabbit. Eowyn, a natural ham, was taken to the stage, and a proclamation naming her the princess of our town was read. And all the other princesses bowed to her. It was quite the production. But the prospects didn't look good, and they weren't. As a neighbor, it was hard to watch, and there was precious little you could do about it. Despite the proclamations and the support from Major League Soccer and the prayers of our town, Eowyn passed away on Mother's Day, surrounded by her family, just under a year after her diagnosis. It was heartbreaking. Eowyn's mom asked if I would play You Are My Sunshine at the graveside service. I readily agreed. Anything for this family that had suffered such a terrible loss. I thought about that first verse of the song, the one that Eowyn and I had sung together. I'd been so impressed that she knew it. But at this point, the words seemed to mean so much more. So I played my guitar that Sunday afternoon one last time for Eowyn, and we all sang. Last night, while I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. When I woke, dear, I was mistaken. So I hung my head and cried. And that's just what we did. We cried for the great loss of what could have been, and for this family whose sunshine had been taken away. I will never be able to think of this song without thinking of Eowyn. If there is a moral to this story, or something to be taken away, it's this. We are all in this together. It's a small but significant thing to sing a song with a preschooler. It's the right thing for a community to come together to help out one of their own, and to grieve with our neighbors when they can no longer hold their loved ones in their arms. It's important to be the sunshine. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Within the Realm. You can find a link to the Fight Like a Princess blog on our website at withinpodcast.com. You will also find a full archive of past episodes, news, and other information about our show. Keep up with us on social media. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Look for Within the Realm. We would love to hear from you. Tell your podcast listening friends about our show. We're on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and all the major podcast channels. Be sure to subscribe. Within the Realm is produced by me, Steve Garrett, and our theme music is provided by 556 and a half. And, as always, thanks for listening.